Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
I want to welcome you guys. Great having you with us. Welcome to Vibrant Living. I'm Glenn Brooks, along with my...
Hiya. Thank you.
I want to say it's an honor, Kai, to be here with you, because the last few days I met some people. I kind of, sometimes between programs, so much happens in terms of meeting people and in terms of living in new questions. You know, I want to share this story today, Kai, because sometimes I listen to something or I observe something, and it really alters me. It really opens another place. And I went to see someone who practices this work called Rosenwork. And Rosenwork is kind of a lot about being aware of your... I see what you're saying. I'm getting a tremendous echo, Chris, if you can help me. I don't know why I'm doing a little bit of echo. Echo City, basically. Anyway, I went to see this woman who practices this thing called Rosen. And I had a discussion with her about mastery, because how I kind of entered this field was I was always curious on a deep level why certain people had such a profound impact on others on numerous levels. So people who could work with people who other people said were hopeless or impossible, and I also was curious about people who exceeded their family beliefs or limitations. So this woman I went to see, she told me the story, and I want to let you guys in on the story, because sometimes it's hard to communicate things verbally, but there's something in the story that I think that if you drop into it, you'll get the spirit of inquiry that we're into today. And I want to say, when I invite people into our dojo, the Vibrant Speakers International, I ask people to play, to explore the idea that getting to know someone gets in the way. That knowing gets in the way. So the story about Rosen that I want to tell you. Miriam Rosen was probably in her 80s, and this guy came to see her. And people would come to see Miriam because they wanted to discover how to be and express in their bodies in a different way. And that interests me. So this man came. He'd been to many different people to help them with this condition that the medical doctor said he couldn't get help for. And so he came into Miriam's office, and she asked him to walk across the room. And he really couldn't walk. He almost like crawled and hobbled. I want you to think about this as you begin your day, as you begin your inquiry in the morning. How much of our lives are filled with assumptions and conclusions on so many levels? Anyway, he got across the room, and Murray didn't say anything to him. And she paused, and she exhaled a few times. And she said, oh, she goes, could you walk to the other side of the room? And he went from hobbling and crawling to this very graceful, kind of gentle, soft walk. So the inquiry is, what happened? Right? What happened? And why? And it's funny because the Rosen practitioner told me, who practices this work, told me she could never check. She couldn't get a handle on that. So I guess what I'm kind of playing with here is that I'm always interested in what allows someone to go to a place to invoke something that allows them to have, if you will, a vertical leap, that come out of the horizontal and experience something so different that's satisfying and bark and beyond the known. Right, beyond the known. So, like with my speakers, I see a speaker, like I see in the room with us now, I see Carrie McKenna. And as soon as I had Carrie's voice, I knew that I had a depth of relationship with her where I could explore many different places in terms of movement, in terms of what Carrie does, Kai, she helps people see the metaphors in their lives, metaphorical healing. You know, we're around all these metaphors in our lives. How are they speaking to us? How are they resonating in our body? And so, for instance, for a lot of us, we're in Act Two, and we don't realize there's another way that's in there. There's another vibrant spark. So I want to say I'm proud and happy she's going to be on our Vibrant Living team as one of our vibrant writers, and she's going to be a regular contributor. And part of how I met Carrie Kai is I knew I wanted to get this deep kind of work called Rolfing, which was developed by a biochemist, Ida Rolf, and it's a very confusing name, but it's such beautiful work about opening up the fascia. The kind of lays under our muscle, that imprints, you know, we're imprinting. And a lot of times we forget what's imprinted, what's been, what's kind of becomes what we call us, isn't coming from vital rhythmic pulsations. It's coming from conclusions and assumptions that now become our nervous system in the way that we react to things that's from the known and from caution. Right? So I want to wholeheartedly welcome you, Carrie. The Vibrant Living.
Thank you. Hello. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So, and I really appreciate, you know, Carrie has this ability. I'm kind of an alchemist of words, and it's really beautiful because I find with Carrie has the ability, she has this wonderful ability to take something and bring another nuance to it. You know, because in my exploration of language and how it impacts us, I've seen people who change the anthropology, if you will, of their words, change their lives. I had a woman travel 2 hours to see me from Fairfield, Connecticut. She had serious brain disease. And she wrote a book called Your Brain Listens to Every Word You Speak. And she told me she practiced in the day speaking to her brain. Imagine, she spoke to her brain, and she got into a dialogue with her brain where she began to not just regain cognitive function. She began to experience the relationship between this intuitive sense and healing her brain. So, Carrie, why don't you – I just want to have you free flow for a moment. I'm so happy you're here. What would you like to share with us?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's an oh, my gosh moment.
Yeah, it is. It's like, oh, platform, yeah. Say something.
I know Kai's here to back us up, though.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciated what you said about Rolfing, because so many people come from a space of, you know, I'm broken, fix me. And that makes me really agitated, because it's an agitated space, of course, to come from. We all come from there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for knowing what I do and how I experience the Rolfing practice myself, I feel like there is this sense of what you said about you're coming in as a more of a flowing energy person, and yet you're having to define your edges, and you have to define sort of what's safe and not safe or what worked in the past, and you're creating these patterns. And the patterns are somewhat set in your nervous system, and you've only got a limited amount on a regular conscious level of shifting that. So in my Rolfing, 7 or 10 years of Rolfing, I ended up kind of moving away from the idea that physically the handle in to help or to shift somebody needed to broaden into my personal sort of quest to make sure I engage that energy in a more conscious way so that I can pretty much link people from their consciousness to their body again in a way that they can be in it firstly and then make choices about the options. You know, I want more options. I want to be able to shift myself versus having to look outside of myself for other people to say, I've got a key. Take my key. You know, as a Rolfer, I went from Rolfer to more to something else, which again, of course, just plowed everything else back under into the fertile ground of it, being that you can't leave Rolfing to find more consciousness. You go back in. And everything is synthesized, which to me is integration. And for me, the watchword of everything seems to be integration right now in this phase for me. So I'm thinking, yes, and. Just like back in the day in improv, it's yes, and. You say yes, and the scene keeps moving. You say no, or I'm not sure, and the scene stops.
That's right. The law of improv is we always just say yes. 3 a.m. you get pulled over speeding. Right? You're always in the yes. No, I want to say that the thing that shifted for me about 7 years ago. And by the way, I want to thank and appreciate a Violet on the line, and I want to thank Maureen Cleary because. Are you on the line today, Maureen?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so blessed you're on the line. Thank you. I was going to say that part of how my connection happened with Terry Maureen is you, our infinite collaboration. Because I thought to myself, who could I bring? Who's in Rhode Island? Because I'm going to start going there, and it's going to be a regular part of the show. And we got the Vibrant Living Summit that me and Kai are so exuberant about. And so I met Terry, as the most interested Rolfer. And by the way, I want to say the Rolf Institute. Oh boy, I'm going to say this out loud. Here we go. It could be the most rigid organization. It could be. I know. I do a lot of. Oh, Kai will help me after the show, though. I'm sure.
He does not represent my membership in the Rolf Institute, by the way.
Well, I have found. I got to tone this down. I found sometimes that the institute might be a little rigid presenting a body of work that's about flexibility. I turned a lot of people onto getting Rolf, and the first thing they said to me, "What's that? It sounds awful." I said, "Well, forget about the word for a moment. It's about becoming more flexible. And imagine if your relationship to gravity and your mobility and your ability to move, like I just recommended to a friend of mine, he's a world-class author, and he's written all these books on natural healing. He's having some challenges with his hips. And I said, imagine, Tom, if it lives in your shoulders, your neck. Imagine if you had mobility, just like when you were a kid and you rolled and you... I'm so happy you're on the line, Maureen, because this summit we're bringing to Rhode Island, this is Carrie's the first person that I spoke to that I thought, oh my God, she's going to be fabulous at our Rhode Island summit and our speakers. And so, Kai, have you been Rolf? By the way, so I want to have you been Rolf? I want to get you in the conversation because you have a body and everything.
I have not yet been Rolfed. I do have plans to do it in the near future. And also, I was trained in myofascial compression techniques, which is not Rolfing. It's trigger point, but it's kind of close.
What about you, Maureen? Are you in on this? Are you like? It's such a funny word. I realize that. I got to admit, I came to Carrie and had this. I was able to dive into a pretty deep conversation because I've been so curious about this idea that we could change our body and shift our lives. Any experience with something like Rolfing, Maureen? Paging Maureen? Maureen? I wonder if we still have her. We still got you there, Maureen? All right, Carrie. Maureen's coming back, I feel it. Oh, okay. Nobody's dropped. I like that. Everybody's still at the bar mitzvah, you're saying. All right.
No, I just came back from the bar mitzvah.
Ariel Bonberg is with us. You're becoming a folk hero to everybody. They all love that name so much. They get the meaning.
It's contagious.
So, Carrie, How would you say it if you couldn't say Rolfing to people? Because some people would be like, what? They're still confused. How would you say it if you couldn't say Rolfing? And how would you say it if we just, because you also went to metaphorical healing. How would you describe the beautiful body of work that you offer as a vibrant speaker?
From my background as an actress, I tend to read the audience first. What do they want to hear? What do they ask me, firstly? But
okay.
If it's somebody who comes in and comes from a medical model and says, what do you do? I give metaphor right away so that I dislodge what they're expecting to hear first so they can hear what I have to say. But I usually make a metaphor, and one of them is, an interior decorator, They make the space in your home feel better, and they smooth everything over, and they put colors in, and they maybe move the furniture around, they repaint. I'm the general contractor who rips out the staircase and changes your kitchen for functionality.
Wow.
So that's what I say about Rolfing to somebody who's expecting more of a cognitive answer. But if somebody's asking me for help in a more, I feel, a more spiritual way, or more like life is stuck, I go with, I unstick patterns that keep you frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
One-liners like that, where they can ask questions, because the rule is, I can't tell you what I do, because it happens in a dynamic way between people in a room at any given moment, and something new happens for every person, so I've gotten out of that by just saying, I'll say one thing, and I'll make them ask me questions.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a way better way for me not to get all tied up in what do I do.
Right. So
we release
kind of a relational
system, like you said, and we let the nervous system reorder the functioning of that fascial system so that the balance in the body is better and gravity can flow through. That's a Rolfing answer.
I'll give you a story. So I pulled my hamstring on my left side of my body, and what I noticed was, because I'd been Rolf before, I had some awarenesses, I noticed that I upped my caution pattern. So I felt more, as a functional animal, I kind of felt I lost mobility, and I wasn't fully moving. And I'm going to share with you this amazing story about what occurred. It's sort of different than just focusing on the problem, because we are fully whole, wondrous, moving systems. We'll continue with Vibrant Living with Guy Cole, who's a genius, in a moment. You listen to Vibrant Living Network.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network along with tribe architect and resident genius Kai Cole, co-host. inside the dojo with me. When I say dojo, it's a place of reverence, honor, respect, beyond competing. Carrie McKenna's with us. She's a Rolfer. She works with the mobility and flexibility and wonder of your body so you can discover new movement possibilities. So what's funny is, and also I want to say Arielle Bonberg is with us as a undercover spy, but for the good people, for us, and also a homeopathic producer in New York City for Vibrant Living. The Vibrant Living Summit, Maureen Clary. I think Violet's with us, too. You with us, Violet? Okay, just checking in. So the story I'm about to tell you has everything to do with vibrant speaking. So when I lost my mobility in my body, because when people would come see me, kind of like at the beginning of the show, I said, knowing gets in the way. So I started to practice seeing people. So the distinction is that when I see someone, I could go right past, I go right to the heart of the matter. I could see a person's book. I could see their big message. And with their permission, we could bring it forward together. So I help people with book titles. And with Vibrant Speakers, it's all about the mobility and fluidity. Actually, you said it so beautifully, Carrie, about embodying and using your body, if you will, as a vehicle for being a divine distributor, which we get distracted from school, right? You gotta do something to have something to be something. No one says you have this piece, this instrument that's mobile and free and you could express and you can connect with other people. We get distracted by the content rather than being in this context of wonder, ground, groundedness, right? Maureen Clary, we're bringing the Vibrant Living, and I will tell the story. We're bringing the Vibrant Living Summit, which is all about vibrant speaking and the ability to be in this other state called playfulness and wonder and yet ground it with your body. So obviously having Terry there as one of our vibrant speakers and discovering this different way of approaching speaking, which has nothing to do with rehearsing. It's nothing to do with scripts. It's everything to do with embodying all the things of the summit, which includes vibrant medicine, the Maverick Path to publishing, how to break all the rules, write your book, make your movie, vibrant relationships, vibrant matchmaking, intimacy, which is the deepest glue, healing agent that I feel is so pertinent to our lives. Now, the thing that happened with my body, I pulled my hamstring, and I was hobbling, and I felt it was impacting me on a certain level of caution. So when people get injured, they think it's one place, their knee, their shoulder, their back. But the truth is, it's all connected. The truth is, you're making these compensations. So it's really hard to experience a life where the universe has your back and you feel connections when you feel these obstructions. So when I tuned into Carrie, when I felt there was this opening where I could let down, I went to see a Rolfer in Boston. I was hobbling when I saw him. And he didn't work on my hamstring at all. It wasn't until the end he worked on it. And I was very blocked in my movement. I left that office to see my daughter skipping. So the implications of our body as this instrument, and I want to acknowledge my teacher, Eric Morris, here. We don't rehearse, and we give up acting, and we have this place of expression. We feel connection to life, right? We have a totally different feeling about buoyancy and how we could be paid for who we are because we have a different reference point. So I felt that talking to you, Carrie, this morning. I felt like, wow, Carrie's going to be such a significant part of the Vibrant Living Summit in Rhode Island. And I couldn't wait to introduce you to Kai and Ariel.
Hello.
And Violet is there. It's such a beautiful relational space. That's right. I'm using the word relational space because you guys always want to take your space back, hold your space, put boundaries on your space. I want to encourage you to become a relational space. All right, I'm going to hand the stick to you, Kai.
I'm here, but in a more listening capacity. I'd love to continue with this momentum.
Thank you. You're a sweetheart. I'm so big and appreciate you. Get to see you tomorrow. So
I'm glad to hear your voice, because since I'm the new guy, I'm looking around the room going, there's a shadowy figure over in the corner, and there's somebody else who's behind that shade tree, and I don't know who I'm looking at.
Well, you know, I want to say that people, this whole thing with relational space, I meet Violet yesterday. And when you go beyond knowing, when you're not, your intent isn't to know someone, the connection is very different. That's why I say to people, go beyond dating. Dating is the commercial food or counter food or processed food of relationship. It gets in the way. So I meet Violet yesterday, Ariel, Kai, Maureen, who I feel so honored to be. I want to say, since we agreed to be a partner in the Infinite Collaboration, of bringing the Vibrant Living Summit to Rhode Island, which is all to do with this fluidity, vibrant medicine, because really, when we get in touch with this and we see the specific application, we see how we could bring this into our lives, it really allows us to have this other quality. And it's wonderful. I want to say it's nothing more satisfying than seeing people stand up on their chairs or dance. I sometimes ask people to communicate their message through their body, not speaking to me. And when you see a group get into coherence that way, it's so beautiful, because I feel like so often we hold back so much of what's there because we buy into some thought virus about when we should, when's time or how to express it. And so
I love, Glenn, how you're talking about the communication that the woman had with her brain, where she had a dialogue.
Yes, yes.
Our bodies are listening. You know,
yes,
even though
yes.
We may perceive that we are not, our bodies are. So, Glenn, I know you
definitely
like to talk about a quality of listening, you know, with our discussion today about Rolfing and, you know, myofascial release. How can we increase our body's capacity to listen in order to increase our ability to communicate, do you think?
Yeah, well, yeah. I love it. So, and Carrie, Ariel. Maureen. So what I started to do in my own life is I listen when I remember I'd be driving and I would feel a pull in my body someplace. I would feel a sense of like, I would have a sense like go to the right or go forward or I would sense someone behind me. I did several days where we would practice staring at each other. Like we would kind of give each other, we'd be around the room and we practice sensing each other. And so the idea is when you feel that subtle message, like I would talk to my body. I would speak in the language of it, like, oh, you want me to turn right? And then I would turn right. And then I would get out of the car. A lot of times I'd get out of the car to get on the earth and see where I was supposed to go. And often there would be someone else, twinkly eyes, and they would that relational dimension where I kind of felt I was – as I contacted life, or if you want to say universal intelligence, the response, there was some kind of physical response where I felt an open attention, awareness, if you will. And sometimes it's awkward. I remember once I went to see someone, and I went to see this body worker who I thought she did something that I thought was, it's called, oh God, it's a warrior work for, it's part of the Hawaiian martial art. Lomi Lomi. Lomi Lomi. So I go to see her, right? And I just had this feeling I didn't want her to touch my neck. And I remember being in the room and thinking, like, what a paradox, because I'm there. And so I was playing with this dynamic of, like, how to listen and also create an experience of co-listening and also vulnerability. Because I think what you learn from something like, I get that from Carrie, is that you need to, like you were saying about the brain. Right. So when you create the vulnerability with your organs, with your nervous system, the things that could be interpreted as unsettling or part of an illness can now be interpreted as the body unwinding and if you will, discovering a new level of wisdom that's moving through. So is an example, instead of the body, you know, people are concerned about spasms. If you could see that all symptoms are healing in progress. If you interpret all symptoms as healing in progress, then you have a different context And when I'm working with someone like Gary, who has that context, right? Now there's a different engagement and awareness could move into rather than the.
Speaking
what I'm finding fascinating
awareness,
is that the more you're talking about this, the higher that echo effect happens between my phone and yours, Glenn.
I totally dig it. I'm going to say, Chris, we're just having an echo a Ferris wheel here. Is there anything you could do? It's put Kelly in my line somehow.
Somebody has been using a headset, or either that or a speaker. That's why we're getting a feedback, as we are hearing yourself talk.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm on a headset.
Okay, and I was on a headset. Now I just pulled it out, and now I don't hear it anymore.
I just took my phone off.
No, it's gone.
I just took my phone off speaker.
Well, you could have told me. Okay.
All right.
I was enjoying the vibrational situation.
Part of it is... Thank you. Huh? Ariel was very involved with the Secret Service in Israel as an undercover agent. So the technology is something he's very familiar with. It sometimes takes us for granted. We all do that. We take something for granted that's the oblivious obvious, right?
Right.
I wanted to ask a question.
Oh,
if I could.
Yeah.
I'm very curious about the state of your clients, you know, during a particular session, you know, with the type of work that you do. I feel like if we were to ever have a conversation, that you would be the kind of person that I'd have to speak to with my eyes closed. I have to do this with Glenn, too, because you pull up so many vivid, you know, images that I just want to, you know, close my eyes and actually dive deep into them. And if I spoke to you with my eyes open, I feel like I would miss out on a dimension of the conversation that we're having. So I'm very, very curious, what are your clients like while you're working with them?
Well, in a Rolfing session specifically, they're usually on a massage table, and the first thing I do is stand up and look at them. So I actually, if I could start with that Rosen example that you started with, somebody walked across the room and then walked across the room differently, sometimes the quality of attention that they receive is actually perceiving that person in their wholeness. And that's what I attempt to do, is kind of empty out my influence, but actually just hold space for that person. And that is the key technique or tool that a practitioner can use to hold honor to the system that exists in that client. And secondly, we're always co-arising with that other person. You can't take two heart cells in the same dish and make them beat at different vibes. They're always vibing together. Electromagnetically, at least. So we have that tool. The tool that I use is pretty much I'm listening so hard to their system that their quality of attention follows me in an energetic grid almost. Like if you were suspended inside of an erector set ball, you know, with all these connections and pieces and all that can move, that's kind of the grid that I'm affecting. I call it grid because somebody else I knew called it grid. But to me, it feels like a tensegrity model. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
A tensegrity model.
Can you elaborate on that?
A bunch of little sticks. Yeah. A bunch of little sticks, and they're wired with string so that when you push one part of the model, it's all balled together and everything moves at the same time. Let me put it a different way. Do you know those little puppets that sit on top of a stand, and at the bottom of the stand, you push the button and they fall over, the puppet falls over, and then you let go of the button and they stand up? That's a tensegrity model. Yeah. So when I know that my system and their system are connected, then any movement I make, they dance with me. You know, if we can get the right quality of attention, I'm steering the ship, but the ship is the two of us, not just them. So I'm not here to intervene in somebody. I'm here to usher their system into a place that I've seen, you know, so they can see it from here and they go, oh, there, yeah, let's just do that. And I happen to do that with my hands on, you know, and I happen to do that with pressure into the nervous system with my training and my awareness.
And so what they do is basically they may have their eyes closed or not. I may ask them to move in soft ways so that they can still be paying attention to their movement while they're moving versus automatic movement. Mm-hmm. And when they're in that sort of optional curiosity space of movement and we're dancing together and in awareness, boy, their nervous system knows just what to do, and I don't have to do it. Their nervous system goes, yeah, I'd like that option. Give that to me. I know exactly what to do with that information, and it takes it, and it does what it's going to do. Now, Glenn, you were talking about safety, and I think that's fascinating because within a body structure, if you're walking down the street and you don't feel any aches and pains or danger or whatever, let's say mm-hmm. we could get a person without any compensation process going on, okay? That person mm-hmm. then twists their ankle. The body knows exactly what to do to keep something from breaking or from you falling because the imperative there, priority, is keep you upright or keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that mm-hmm. priority is going to be the same in a session when you're trying to trust me or not. That same system in the nervous system is saying, you just went too far. Don't go too far. Don't go there. But it's a safety mechanism mm-hmm. that's necessary as well. So strict, like, 100% vulnerability is not encouraged because we need to change what they trust in the nervous system, change what the nervous system trusts by giving it support, not by challenging their trust, but by really saying, here's what's working. Here's where your resources are. Here's how we shift from there, from a place of power to the place of new beginnings and options.
Well, now you can say why you're such a part of Vibrant Speakers. You know, there's two comments. So in the beginning, I'd work with people with their breath. And what someone shared with me was something really interesting. And this has to do also with another phenomena known as hookup. So what I realize is that people pick up on your safety level. So for instance, when we're in a room, let's say, and they hook up on some level and they feel a sense of ease from my system. It transfers in the room as a coherent field. It's some kind of something that we pick up on each other, right? So it's so beautiful that you say that. So in some sense, when they're with you, and I guess what's happening is they're kind of tuning into their inherent health, and maybe you're nudging it or speaking to it, so it starts to gain, I guess, an inspired momentum or connection on its own.
Yeah, exactly. Because if I intervene, it's going to go, that's your idea. Don't say you know, and it's to like back out and be like, I know what's safe mm-hmm. for me, unless you give it that sense mm-hmm. of, oh no, you're totally safe. You can have all that safety if you want to, but here's another option.
Yeah. So let me just check in for a second, Carrie McKenna. Vibrant Living Summit coming to Rhode Island. Maureen, you were on the Titanic earlier. We corrected the technical challenges. Are you there right now? Maureen, paging Maureen. You there, Maureen? All right. Maybe she's in a space where she's listening. So listening, I heard the story of the ambassador of Chile, the financial ambassador, and I was studying this phenomenon of hookup and you could say relational intelligence. Because I realized when people would come see me, there was a relational field and there was a relational, rapport. So I had it happen yesterday with Violet. Violet, are you there right now? Violet? It's kind of like, this is like checking at our party. Who's still at the bar mitzvah kind of thing? This is where we are in the bar mitzvah. Yeah.
Somebody's
at the lunch table. So I had this one woman come to see me, and I really made it a point to say she could sit anywhere in the room she wanted. And that was just so profound. And she told me that, I think she was probably, let's say, 29, and she never really considered that she could sit where she wanted. And so some of this stuff is so, I don't know, it's so profound, and yet it's simple. It's kind of like even the idea of massage, let's say, and I'm not putting down massage, I love a good massage. But sometimes I think people think they got to change the body, or it needs to be, there's an impositional sense. It's the same thing with, let's say, speaking. People think they got to do something or produce something. Or so that rather than, in some sense, it's coming from the inside out and it's relational. Stay with us for more relational surprises and wisdom here on the Vibrant Living Network. If you like Precious, enjoy it.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to Vibrant Living Network, Vibrant Living. We're talking about, we're exploring a few different things. We also have a summit, a Vibrant Living Summit coming up in Rhode Island, beautiful marketplace. And that really came about in our relationship to Maureen Clary, who owns Natural Awakening. So we're exuberant about being in Rhode Island. And, you know, the challenge of this conversation, Ariel and Carrie and Violet, if you're there, Maureen, is that, you know, singing and skipping, it takes us beyond our mind, right? So a lot of times we're trying to figure things out, and then when we're in flow, fluidity, things make sense to us. So we connect with them. That's kind of different than just purely a linear thing. So the listening that we have is so profound. What have you discovered? And I want to ask you, Violet, are you there by chance? Violet? Wow. Maureen, are you there? All right, we're checking in now. Okay. Okay, so we have Ariel. Yes, Ariel.
Just hear me, Glenn.
Oh, wonderful. Bomberg's there. And Kai had to go back to her session at the Omega Institute. We have Carrie. Okay, he's our third mystery guest. Who else is on the line that I'm not? Is anybody else? We have Carrie, Ariel.
Me. That's me.
Oh, just three. Okay.
Oh,
right, right, Carrie. Okay, yeah. You have your Los Angeles number to show that you still have Los Angeles clout.
Right.
So, Ariel, what are you curious? Ariel, what are you curious about? What's bubbling to you in the conversation as you sit with people as a homeopath, as you listen to their stories, and what's kind of beyond the stories about the vitalness of people? What's your question of curiosity? As you listen?
I guess my question for this, it goes like this. And homeopathy, you know, I may have brought this up before on previous shows.
Yeah.
There's a concept called Harry's Law of Cure, where the direction of cure can go in any linear direction. It can be top, you know, head to toe, or like we usually see inside out or outside in. I'm kind of curious if this type of modality that we're learning about today, I'm curious to see, is there only one specific direction of cure that it's in, or is that more subjective to each and every different person that comes for treatment or comes to find that resonance and that rebalance through this method?
Is that for me?
Yeah, Kelly.
Yeah,
he actually wrapped it in a package just for you.
I like it. I just didn't hear half of it.
And I was I had told Glenn before that I have a problem with hearing people only and not seeing them. So if you could do that one more time, I'm so sorry. I can't hear you.
Beautiful, beautiful. No, it's beautiful, beautiful.
No, it's okay. I'm actually not in such a great area. Can you hear me better now?
I can hear you if you slow down.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. So what I was saying before is that in homeopathy, you know, there's a concept called Herring's Law of Cure, which means that, you know, there are many different ways that a person can experience a direction of cure. For example, there's healing inside out or outside to in, or top to bottom or bottom to top. There's always this linear, idea of a linear direction of cure that happens in a certain linear set of steps. So my question is, Carrie, for you, is that for this modality that you use, you know, is there a specific direction of cure every time, or is there a different direction of cure for each and every person that comes to see you?
Ah, I see what you're saying. I think that I would be really hesitant to use any kind of linear model, firstly, because I don't, mostly because I don't understand the linear model you're talking about. Otherwise, it might make more sense to me. But how every client is different. That's pretty much an answer to the question, is that I have to find their strongest source of resource. So sometimes they behave in predictable ways to resource. Like, for instance, I am a person who, when I say I need to be grounded, I feel ungrounded. When I ground, I go to the ground. I actually go down into my body, into settling, things that are heavy, things that are, like, even water can be heavy. Anything that feels settled or through the earth, that's me. Other people, they actually alert in a different way in their nervous system. And when they need steadiness, they actually look to the horizon for orientation. They look to reaching something and touching with their arms or hands. So we call those reach-oriented. And then there's ground-oriented nervous systems. So in a way, I can understand what you mean about inside out or outside in. We kind of have approximations of that as well. But in my opinion, it goes both directions all the time. And it's a very three-dimensional sort of inclusive synthesis in all directions. Does that make any sense?
Well, something more. I know, it 100% makes sense. And like in homeopathy too, we also believe that everybody heals differently. But yeah, I mean, it's great to hear though that there's something like that where you're kind of just letting the person heal as they go to do it in their own like unique and special way. It's very, very inspiring for sure. And it definitely makes a lot of sense.
I love being inspired by their bodies too and their system, really, because I read energy as well. I'm empathic, so I am hooked into their energy in a way that's deliberate. But when I go into a body and I feel what the most linear thing that I can do is follow a muscle train up the body, and I might be doing it from the point of your ankle, but I feel it almost like surfing inside of a Georgia O'Keeffe painting. I get to feel the other end of this dynamic curve that is a linear-ish line of function. You know, you might think it's a linear function, but nothing's linear. So you just like diving in and out, and you can see the other end of it, and you can see your effect on their facial muscles when you're in their ankle. It's very, very fascinating to find their system and what they pull in. Because I'm just tugging at a little thread, and I get to see what else on the other side responds too. And so I get to be aware for that. And it's always different.
Beautiful. Thank
Maureen,
you.
Maureen, that was really beautiful. Yeah,
great question.
You know, it was a beautiful question. It's a beautiful question. You know, there's so many paradoxes in healing. There's paradoxes in gaining a new radiant system, a radiant path into your system, because you know, sometimes we're mimicking, or as Deepak Chopra used to say to me, that why we grow old and die is we see other people grow old and die. I love that. So there's a hypnosis, if you will, of we see things, and then in some sense, we catch things. You know, you're sitting at Starbucks, and your shoulder's hurting you, and you pick up so much. No one's ever really taught most of us how to discover to go beyond this culture of, I don't know, inhibition or caution, the caution movement culture,
right,
if you will. Maureen, are you there right now? I want to run by something you said a week ago that kind of I pondered on for a week. And I want to say with the Vibrant Living Summit coming to Rhode Island, Vibrant Rhode Island is one of the most wonderful states. And surely Maureen from Natural Awakening, that we made an agreement to be infinite collaborators and do something magnificent together on all levels and bring the summit. So Maureen, are you there right now? I miss her so much. I appreciate Maureen so much. She said something a week ago about, I asked people about what was the thing they heard most often growing up. What was the house mantra? And she was saying, don't say shut up. You know, don't say shut up. And she was saying that was something that she got from her household that was so valuable. And I was just thinking that it is sort of a curse to tell people to shut up on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And the other level I thought is, for some people to say shut up to some people probably is medicinal in certain moments. Like it seems like in healing or unfolding this infinite well-being model, it's kind of beyond certain, I guess, rules or linearness. It seems like because sometimes there's a paradox in this. You know, there's a paradox. Like there was a guy who went to physical therapy. He refused to do all physical therapy at the hospital. He absolutely said he didn't want to move. Movement hurt him. And they tracked him, the occupational therapist and the people at the hospital. He played 6 to 8 hours a day of cards. And the occupational therapist was watching him from outside the room. And she said, you know what's funny is he's actually rehabbing himself. The movement it takes to move the cards, the thing that we're trying to force him to do, he's doing.
Yeah.
How what have you noticed about bodies in terms of have you noticed anything that has impacted the way you listen to people, how you touch them in terms of this organic model of infinite movement and breath? Like, have you noticed anything that really makes, because a lot of people wonder, you know, like people constantly get hurt and a lot of times they feel cut off. Is there anything you've noticed in terms of helping people with pain or caution that you've noticed, you kind of just notice as a way of body language, let's say, that you implement? I know it's a big, long, linear question, but here it is.
No, I've exploded it into 12 other ways to think about it already, so let me pick one. How many?
It's 1,001.
Mm-hmm. 10,001 ways I could go about that one. But for some reason, another story popped into my head instead, which is listening for the thing that they really would like, what they want, where they're trying to go. Because I had a gal once in Chattanooga who came in not able to walk very well at all, had a cane, her knees were the thing she blamed for this, you know, her back hurt, everything hurt. She thought she had fibromyalgia, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, just listening to her, she was a sweet, bubbly woman, and she was approaching 70. And after about 6 sessions with her of just kind of going, well, I don't know if this will help, but let's try, she kept coming back.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, she's coming for some reason. I don't have a choice. I can't judge that reason. I'll just give her what I have, and we'll see what's happening. And it was early in my career, too, so I wasn't sure what I was going to do. But she, after 6 sessions, she came in, and she says, I just took belly dancing class, and look, my hips and my ribs move independently now.
Wow.
And she showed me, and I just went, what? That's what I listen for now. What do they want out of it? Because that's the thing that's going to value and motivate them, you know? I want to be able to dance. I want to express myself. And so now that's what I look to expound on. Oh, I hear that you're saying this, and I know that you come in with this resource that maybe you forgot you had. You know, that kind of positive spin, if you will, because I personally, because I can't fix anything. So when people come in with the fix me model, it's my job to move them from the fix me model to the look what could be possible model. That would be my entire job if nothing else happened. I'd be fine with having done that. So they walk away saying Rolfing doesn't work, and you know, but something else is going to be possible. I go, yep, it works. it's
not about. Right on.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I just want to. That's so beautiful. You know, I want to acknowledge Maureen Clary and Maxwell Awakenings, our partners in the Vibrant Living Summit, inclusive of Vibrant Living, Vibrant Medicine, Vibrant Movement, Body of Movement. We have a new show coming on Ageless Living with Dr. Gary Leisman. And also Vibrant Speaking, the ability to speak and communicate your message from your body, from your intuition, from your imagination. And, you know, it's so funny. I had this client, and she was a chiropractor. I always used to bump into her because she'd always say, people come here and I fix them. And I'd be like, I don't want to be fixed, though. I didn't like the idea of being fixed. It felt like I wasn't in that idea.
Right, right. You said a lot there. I wasn't in that idea. Yeah. I don't have a better idea.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's so funny that I should, you know, I honestly, what can I say? I always do feel that. This woman comes to, oh my God, the music's on. Anyway, she comes to Carl Jung and she's scared of birds. And he says, tell me. Now she's telling Carl Jung the story. This bird pecks her in the face. And he goes, I get it now. Your life's precious and joy. I want to thank Carrie McKenna. What's your website, Carrie?
MagicalShift.com.
Oh, that's profound. MagicalShift.com. Check out Natural Awakenings. Natural Awakenings of Rhode Island will be there with the Vibrant Living Summit. I want to thank everybody deeply and profoundly, Chris and everyone on the show today. Thank you for being part of Vibrant Living. Thank you.